we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Oh, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Monday here in Brevard County, Florida. What a great place to live. And I'm just excited to be able to bring to you the Word of God today and continue in our study in Isaiah chapter 33. Thanks to everybody who came out for our Mornings Matter personal growth workshop this last weekend. And we hope that it was a blessing to you and that it makes a difference in your life. And so we're looking forward to what God has to bring about fruitful-wise, in the way of fruitfulness, let me put it that way. In the days ahead, we pray that your life is enriched and blessed for all those who came out. So we're going to go to Isaiah, the 33rd chapter again today. Isaiah, the 33rd chapter. We want to say thank you to Creative AC Solutions, Bill Andriek, 759-3284. If you need some help with your AC system, give him a call. We're believing that cooler days are ahead. Can someone say amen? And I know that my electric bill would greatly appreciate, you know, God can cool this area a lot more efficiently than what my AC unit can. And I'm looking forward to the days of lower electric bills. You know, I've had people who've told me, said, why don't you get on one of those budget plans where it's the same electric bill, the same all the way around the year? And I was like, because I really, really like those lower electric bills that come to pass in the early spring and fall months. Those are great, great budget boosters for me, and so I look forward to them. So if Bill Andriek and Creative AC Solutions can give you some help here in the central Brevard County area, give them a call, 759-3284. So let's get to the Word of God today. Verse number 22 of Isaiah, the 33rd chapter. Also, just want to remind you that this coming weekend is Labor Day weekend. And so if you are traveling, be extra careful. If you are going out on the water, be extra careful. I don't know if you've noticed this or not, but a lot of times people take holidays and they use it as an opportunity to fill their bodies with substances that cause them to lose a sense of sobriety. And that can be dangerous to them and dangerous to others. And so please be careful. Watch out not only for your own self, but for those around you as well. So let's go back. Number 22, verse 22 of Isaiah 33. For the Lord is our judge. The Lord is our lawgiver. The Lord is our king. He will save us. And so we've talked about that God is the Lord, and because he's the Lord, he is the judge. He wasn't elected judge. It's who he is. The Lord is our lawgiver. He is the best one to be able to write the mandates of our life. And so I just encourage you, he is the executive branch, and he is the legislative branch, and he is the judicial branch. He is the best qualified. You can reject those things if you want, but it is at your own peril. And so today we are going to talk about the Lord is our King. And it says, your eyes will see the King in verse number 17. Your eyes will see the King in his beauty. And so I want to give you a perspective because For about the past 60 years, we have struggled here in America with the thought of authority, that that anybody in authority should not be trusted because they have their own personal interest in mind, and there's probably corruption going on there. And so as a result of that, we have had a skewed or a disappointing view of those in authority. But that is not necessarily the reality when it comes to God. God is a beautiful, beautiful king. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. There is never going to rise a person ruling over more people with greater authority and greater perfection than he is. So I just want to encourage you to look at God in his beauty. Now, we struggle in the Western mindset with the concept of a monarchy, especially a theocratic monarchy. Now, that doesn't mean that it's the best form that a monarchy is the best form of government for a people. But when it comes to the kingdom, we use that term. We use that term that it is the kingdom of God. It is the kingdom of heaven. And kingdoms are not people who are elected to that place. Kingdoms have kings who are there because of their appointment, their position, their birth, their nature. And so God selected David because he was a man after his own heart, even when he was still just a boy. And so whenever we reject God, we always get an inferior product. Israel rejected God as their king, and it said there's two realities about why Israel rejected God as their king. First of all, they wanted to be like everyone else. They wanted to be just like the nations around them. They didn't want to be a special people. They wanted to be a common, ordinary nation. It made them feel better to be a part of the collective norm than to be the singular expression of God's chosen people. And some people would rather go with a group into chaos and disobedience and rebellion than they would to stand out in their own. Now, I've got news for you. I've not always done things perfectly. I've not always done things the right way. But there have been times when the people that I was with were doing something that compromised my values. And I said, you know what? I'm not comfortable with this. And I will be outside waiting for you whenever you get done. And that's where they found me. There were times that we went places and all of a sudden the movie started and it's like, oh my goodness, I shouldn't be here. And I got up and I left my friends. That was back when I was 17 years old. It's like, you know what? I'm not going to compromise myself just because others are compromising themselves. And so God is a beautiful king. The fact that he sits upon the throne brings me a great deal of comfort. The problem that a lot of people have with earthly monarchies is earthly kings demanded payment from their subjects. Whenever a king went off to conquer another territory, it was so that the revenue that was produced in that land would come to him so that he didn't have to work as hard. But God as our king flips that on its head. It is not that God is looking for us to support him and his position. He is looking to extend his benefits as the ruler over our lives to us. The Lord is our King. And like it says there in verse number 17, your eyes will see the King in his beauty. One of these days, every eye will see, every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's what the scripture says. You're going to see him. Every eye will see as he parts the eastern sky. They will look upon the one they have pierced. It's not going to be something you're going to be able to bury your head in the sand and say, I refuse to acknowledge the royalty, the majesty, the majesty of God. Instead, I'm going to acknowledge that he is the King. Now, I want to take you to another passage here. Let me see if I can find it. Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. You don't hear many sermons about this passage of scripture. In just a moment, you'll understand why. In verse number 13, verse number 12, it says, therefore he said, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. So he called 10 of his servants, delivered to them 10 minas, and said to them, do business till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a delegation after him, saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And so it was that when he returned, having received the kingdom, he then commanded the servants to whom he had given the money to be called to him, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. And verse number 27, but bring here those enemies of mine who did not want me to reign over them and slay them before me. God's going to receive the kingdom. It's going to happen. And in doing so, there are going to be people who reject his kingdom. I believe Shakespeare was the one who put into the words of, I might have that wrong, but into the words of, it might have been Dante, better to rule in hell than to serve in heaven. And the reality is, you're not going to do either. You're not going to do either. There's going to be chaos in hell because God is a God of order. Satan's not. There might be some structure there now, but when all of that, all of hell and death and the lake of and the grave is thrown into the lake of fire, all of that order is going to be done away with. And it is going to be a miserable, wretched experience for everyone there. There will not be anyone receiving any sort of joy out of being absent from the Father's presence. You see, heaven is made real because of the presence of our King, not because of the streets of gold, not because of the crystal sea, not because of all of the ornate infrastructure that is going on there. It is because of the presence of Jesus. That's what makes heaven a desirable place. I've got loved ones that have gone on before me. Thank God that they are there. But it's not getting to see them that is going to make heaven heaven. I'm looking forward to it. They are cheering us on, it says in Hebrews chapter 12. But what I'm really looking forward to, it is the goal of every believer, is not to be reunited with mom, dad, and grandma and grandpa, but it is to be reunited with the King of Kings and with the Lord of Lords. Everything else is secondary. And so, God says that he's going to be made king. Now, the reality is, if you reject him, you can reject him, but you do so at your own peril. And I just want you to know that's not God's choice. That's not God's will. But if that is the choice that people make, it is theirs to make. God is not forcing that upon anyone. Psalm 24. There's volumes and volumes of passages of scripture that we could discuss in all of these concepts. But in Psalm 24, it says this in verse number 7, lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory, the Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle? Lift up your heads, O you gates. Lift up you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory, the Lord of hosts? He is the King of glory. Okay, so I want to tie these two last concepts in together, and that is the Lord is our King. He will save us. So there's five titles that God has in just this one verse. First of all, he's the Lord. Second, he is our judge. Third is our lawgiver, and he judges according to the law. Then he is the Lord, our King. He reigns according to the law. He enforces the law. And then finally, he will save us. He will save us. He is our Savior. He is the Lord, our Savior. Joshua in the Old Testament means the Lord saves. Jesus is a derivation of that in the Greek, and it means God saves. He is Jesus Christ, Jesus the Messiah, the anointed one of God. What does he come to do? He came to seek and to save the lost. Who is this? You see, when you and I walked in covenant with God, whenever we asked him to be our Lord and Savior, we entered into a covenant relationship with him. And that means all of his assets are now our assets, and all of our assets are now his assets. He has more assets than you do. All of our liabilities are now his liabilities. Those were his debts to pay. I would say that his liabilities are our liabilities, except for he doesn't have any liabilities. He is perfect in all of his ways. He owes no man anything. He's not debtor to anyone. He is our King, and as a result, our Savior. That means that whenever we are attacked, that he comes to battle for us. I remember when I was a youth pastor down in Melbourne, I was talking about and extending an invitation for this group of kids to be saved. And there was this kid that was there, and I don't remember his name, but he said, "Saved from what? Saved from what?" And, you know, that was 24, 25 years ago. And since then, I can tell you that he has probably come to realize that you need to be saved from sin. You need to be saved from the traps of the enemy. You need to be saved from sickness, and you need to be saved from death. You need to be saved from those who want to corrupt your good character. There's a massive amount of deliverance and salvation that we, God's people, need. Who better to be your Savior and your Deliverer than the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? It is a blessing to be a part of the kingdom of God. In the Lord's Prayer, it says, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come." Your kingdom come. In order, listen, when the King comes, the kingdom comes with him. It is the King that makes the kingdom. In man's world, it is the kingdom that makes the king, because the kingdom existed before the king, and the kingdom will exist after that king. And that's why you have so many long lines of people of a monarchy, so many different generations that rule and reign in a monarchy. It's because they were born to the right family. That's how they got to be part of the kingdom. You and I, it's our king that makes the kingdom, and we got adopted as servants of unrighteousness. We got adopted into the household of faith, the kingdom of faith, and now we are princes and princesses of God. We are royalty. We are spiritual royalty. And so whenever we are under attack, and we are walking in covenant with God, he promises you will not fight this battle alone. I don't know what your weekend looked like. I don't know whether there was bad news that came your way or there was good news that came your way. I don't know if you found out of a unexpected attack, an unexpected expense, an unexpected vehicle breakdown, whatever it might have been. But I want to encourage you, you are not facing that alone. One of my favorite prayers to pray is that God opens doors that no man can shut. And that's what we see here in Psalm 24. It says, "Lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors, that the King of glory shall come in." And so today, I want to share this with you. This would be a great verse or series of verses to pray, especially if you are going through a season of adversity, that the King is your Savior. He comes to save you. He didn't just come to save David. He didn't just come to save Israel. He didn't just come to save Pastor Bob. He came to save you. And if you will call upon him, say, "Father, I need you," he will move heaven and earth. He has already moved heaven and earth to come to your defense. Who is it? "Lift up your heads, you, or be lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors, that the King of glory may come in." Would you invite the King to your battle today? He's not coming there to be like they had in the medieval times, where there would be some level of royalty, and they, "I think I would like to see a jousting match today," and they would set up there and watch as these two people, you know, half kill themselves. No, God comes to wage war on your behalf, whether it's against sin, whether it's against sickness, whether it's against depression, whatever it might be. Would you invite him in, and he will move every obstacle so that he can come to you? Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Okay. I've told you before of one of the lines that's in the Word of God, and it's really, it makes me chuckle. And it's a king of Judah goes to attack the king of Israel, and Israel was almost always more wicked than Judah was, but Judah was always the smaller of the two. They were two tribes versus 10. And Judah decides that they are going to go and attack Israel, and the king of Israel sends a response, and he says, he basically tells him, "You don't really want to do this." And the line that makes me chuckle is, "He who takes his armor off should not, or he who puts his armor on should not boast as the one who has just taken his off." See, you might not have been in a spiritual battle before, but God has. He's an experienced warrior. Ask Egypt how his battle skills are. Ask the Assyrians how his battle skills are. He's not overwhelmed by numbers. He's not overwhelmed by, you know, how violent a nation is. He is a skilled warrior. He is a skilled savior. He is a skilled healer. He is a skilled deliverer. And today he wants to come. He is the Lord mighty in battle. "Lift up your heads, O you gates, lift up you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in." Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Today, I want to encourage you that this king that you serve, he's a beautiful king. He's a glorious king. He's a powerful king. He's not an insecure king. He is a benevolent king. He will take care of you. He will take care of you. He will meet your every need. He's not coming to the throne in the future. He already sits upon it right now. He is the King of Glory. Who is this King of Glory? He is the Lord of Hosts. He is the King of Glory. Here in America, we struggle with this concept because we want our voice to be heard, our vote to be counted. We are so independently minded, personally minded, that we struggle with the thought of kingdom principles. What if we allowed God to change our mindset to say, I'm beside me, there is no other. I'm not going anyplace. Everybody who has ever risen up against me has failed. Why would you not just choose to accept that I know what I'm doing and that I've got this under control? I will take care of you. What did Jesus say? He said, you know what? It's not the sick that need, or it's not the well that need a physician, it's the sick. So he came, received the stripes upon his back, and brought healing. It was the sinful, those who were in captivity to sin, that needed saving and delivering. And so he came and he offered himself up on the cross so that our sins could be forgiven. You know what the charge was that they wrote upon his head? They always put a criminal charge up whenever the Romans crucified him. And they put it up in languages so that everybody could read it that came by. The charge above Jesus' head as he hung up on the cross was this: the King of the Jews. He's the King of the Jews. And I want you to know today that he is your king. He's my king. And he wants to be your Savior and my Savior. Let's get this week started off on the right way. And that is saying, God, whatever you want me to do, that I will do. Wherever you, listen, I know people that say, oh, I could go any place but here. That's not my choice to make. I am a servant in the army of the living God. He positions me where I'm best qualified to serve, and I'm thankful for it. He never makes a mistake. You want to be elevated? Be faithful where you're at, no matter how small, and he will lift you up. It's a great thing to be a child of the living King. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Lord, I wish I could praise you with adequate words, but you leave me speechless. And I so long to sing you the song you deserve, but it would be endless. I long to move your heart, I bring you something new, I tell how great you are, I tell my praise to you. It's like an